All right, guys, today my episode of the podcast is with Cash Hasworth. Cash Hasworth is a solar panel salesman, and he helps average people learn more about sales. Sales is a very psychological thing. Now, if you guys obviously know, I'm a life coach, and I sell my own coaching services. I'm in real estate as well. But selling is really just showing value, is really what it is. Now, you can use psychology and persuasion and try to trick people into buying things they don't really want, but that's not going to yield good results. What yields good results is confidence in what you're selling and showing the true value in the product or service that you have available. And I do that with my coaching. So if you have ever thought about potentially hiring me as your life coach, head over to lifecoachzach.com. You can book a free 15-minute call there. But until then, let's get to the episode. You know, when we talk about selling, and you talk about, you know, selling your kids on just not being crazy, eating their vegetable, et cetera, whatever it is, right? It's a lot of psychology. It's a lot, not manipulation, but a lot of like getting the person you're talking to, trying to convince them or persuade them to meeting you in the middle somewhere, some way, some shape, some form. So tell us more a little bit about how you've used psychology or what you've learned in psychology that has helped you be a sales beast.
You know, I think one of the core reasons why I've been so successful in sales is some of the most talented salespeople in the world, you don't even realize that they are salespeople, because at the end of the day, we're just humans. I think when you overcomplicate the simplicity of selling is where the water kind of gets really muddy, right? And you come off as super cheesy, and you're just not relatable. Your message doesn't resonate well with people. Yeah. So you have to keep the message simple. You have to, you know, have a certain persistence about you, and be, you know, transparent in what your intentions are, and don't hide behind anything. Right. But, you know, it's just being authentic. I think at the root of strong sales ability is just simply communicating well, communicating honestly, communicating consistently, setting proper expectations, delivering on those expectations. And that's it. I mean, selling is purely just strong communication skill and being intentional.
Absolutely. You mentioned being authentic. And the only way to be authentic is if you believe in what you're selling. So when it comes to selling ourselves to a future partner, to a new job, to a friend, to just anybody that we're in a conversation with, we have to believe in ourselves.
That's it.
You know, we gotta have that confidence that like we're selling ourselves and we believe in the value we bring to the table. So what has been big for you as far as like confidence goes, or you know, the product that you're selling, believing in? Tell us more about how those things
Yeah, I think Jordan Belfort said it best. He said, you know, selling is just a transfer of emotion, right? And the emotion that you want to transfer is confidence, is certainty. So the same is true in the opposite direction, right? If you don't present enthusiastically, if you don't have that confidence, if you're boring, if you don't seem very interested, or you lack certainty in your product or service or yourself, guess what's going to get transmitted to that customer? That same lack of enthusiasm, that same lack of certainty. So, you know, you have to get super confident in yourself, in the product or your service. And it comes down to simply getting active, taking action, falling on your face. That's it. You have to develop a thirst for rejection. So initially, it's going to be super uncomfortable. You're not going to want to do it, especially if you're new in sales. And I would just encourage anyone that is new to sales, that's trying to overcome that fear or doesn't have that confidence level built up, is just get out there and start talking to people. Start taking action.
Asking questions.
Yep.
Figuring out what they need, figuring out what they want.
You have to have a thirst for rejection, in my opinion, in order to build up that confidence.
Yeah.
So it just comes from consistently taking action and talking to more and more people, because you're going to learn how people respond to certain things that you say. And then you just continually refine that process. When you got to be mindful of how people respond, right? Not just what they say, but more importantly, you know, our body language sends a more truthful message than our actual words do. So when you are trying to sell someone or persuade someone into doing something, take a look at how they respond, not just their words, but their body language.
Yeah.
And continually optimize based off of that feedback and those interactions that you get.
Yeah. You know, when I've been in sales, not as long as you, but I've been in sales since 2015. Started my career selling real estate, I sold insurance for a couple years. Now I sell my life coaching programs and I'm still selling real estate. And there's been a lot of foundations for my sales skills. And the number one thing I've learned that has made the biggest impact on my success is asking the right questions. You know, it's like, hey, what are you looking for? What do you want to gain from this? What are your expectations? And then marrying that from there, right? But tell us a little bit more about some of the sales principles that you've learned early on in your career or that you're continuing to refine.
Yeah, so there's a couple important things that I want to deliver here. I think one of the biggest mistakes that salespeople make is they stick around too long with the wrong people, or they stick around too long with the wrong people. Meaning, you need to identify very quickly, you know, is this person the right fit? Does this product or service resonate with them? If not, move on. Like, don't feel like you have to follow up with this person for a year when you see zero hope that they're going to convert to a customer, right? You know, investing all of that time and energy into the wrong people is time that you're wasting where you could be spent in more fruitful conversations. So I'd say that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make. But what's been really effective for me is a framework that I developed that I call the Evoke method. And essentially what it is Evoke stands for you extract, you validate, you overcome, and you close. This is more of a closing method. But when you talked about asking the right questions, what I do is you have to figure out what the customer's reservations are. So that's the extraction. So if I were to ask you, Zach, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, with this product or service, where do you stand?
I'm like a 5, maybe a 6. You know, I'm interested. Okay. There are things holding me back.
That's a little low. What's your biggest reservation?
You know, there's a lot of other products just like this on the market. And, you know, even though yours is a little different, I could maybe get a lower quality for, you know, a lower price. And, you know, that might be in line with where I'm looking at as far as this product goes.
Yep. So now that I have that reservation, most of the time when a customer mentions price, it's never about price. It's always about value.
Yeah.
So I just haven't done a good enough job of building the value in my price point. So now that you have told me exactly what I need to do to sell you on this product or service, that's what I need to focus my time and energy on. And if you're still a 5 or 6, that's okay. I move on to the next potential customer. That's it, right?
Tell us more about that. Tell us about what you learned. Tell us about what the audience can gain from getting a copy of your new book.
Well, number one, I think that's one of the most powerful frameworks that's in the book is that Evoke method, right? You extract the reservation, the same exact process that I just used on you. Mr. Customer, scale of 1 to 10, where do you stand? You're a 7? Great. What's keeping you from a 10? And typically what you have happen is customers will say, well, yeah, I just need to think about it. And you got to just continue to chisel away at that until you really extract it. So I'll ask the customer, if you had to put a finger on it, what your biggest reservation is, what would it be? And you just keep poking at it until you truly extract it, because eventually they're going to cave and they're going to tell you. And that's everything that you need, that they're telling you what you need to overcome in order to close the deal. So you validate it. You say, look, if I were in your shoes, price would be a concern for me as well. You overcome it. You build the value. You ask for the business. So EVOC, extract, validate, overcome, close. Powerful framework, especially if you use it in that light. But Selling Keeps You Broke, the subtitle is called A Holistic Approach to Disruptive Sales Performance to Earn Big. So like we first were talking about, is people tend to overcomplicate the simplicity of selling. And you have kids by chance?
I don't.
Is that?
No.
Okay. So I do. I have three beautiful boys, monstrous boys. But, you know, one's five, one's 2.5. They play in the tub all the time with the watercolors. I don't know if you've ever seen the watercolors or not, to play with them when you're a kid. But it's the equivalent of, you know how you throw like a blue watercolor in, then you throw a green one in, and it makes this beautiful turquoise color, right? But the moment you throw a pink one in or a purple one in, and it just kind of gets this dark, mucky looking color. Cells is the same exact way. The more complexity that you add to it, the muddier it gets, and the poorer your results are. So instead of obsessing over this idea of selling to the point to where you just come off as a cheesy salesperson, you should be focusing your time and energy into other and more critical areas that I define as the Triple C path of victory in the book. But the Triple C path of victory is comprised of three C's: the creator, the closer, and the care champ. So the creator essentially says that having a great product means nothing if nobody knows about it. It has the creator of your own opportunities. It is your job single-handedly to create the interest and the excitement for that product or service. Nobody else. I don't even care if you have a marketing team, right? If you're a new employee that just started in, you know, a billion-dollar company and they got a massive marketing team, if they're not doing their job to create the opportunities for you, you have to take some ownership in that, right? And you have to provide them with some positive feedback, some constructive solution-oriented feedback that's going to help you do your job easier. So just taking ownership that of the creator is a lot of what the book talks about. There's mindset in the book, some best practices there. And then we get into the closer, asking for the business. The evoke method is a part of that closer role. And then you have the care champ. So
that's interesting, dude. So who do you think can benefit from this book the most? Is it specifically for solar salesmen? Is it for realtors, insurance salesmen, pest control sales? Like is it more door-to-door? Is it more cold calling? Or is it more just psychology of sales and sales practice?
Yeah, more psychology. It's very universal. You know, I didn't want it to be very rigid. But it is very, very sales oriented. So it focuses purely on mindset, and then the creator, the closer, and the care champ roles in the book.
Yeah.
So those are the four parts that it's comprised of.
Love that, man. And then what was the biggest sales lesson or sales story that you think has been the most impactful on your career?
Biggest sales story. It's a great question. I don't know. Give me an example. Oh, what's been one for you?
Like back in 2019, I was banging the phones 50, 60 dials a day, doing cold calls on expired listings. And I had someone pick up the phone. It was for a $3 million listing. And I said, "Hey, this is Zach. I'm a realtor. I noticed your house on Waterford Way just went expired. Would love the opportunity to get interviewed to be your next realtor." "Oh, don't worry about it. It's okay. I'm okay. Thank you." And he's about to hang up. I said, excuse me, Mr. X, before you hang up, is it all right if I just follow up with you in 2 weeks? He goes, "I mean, you can if you want, but you don't have to." Okay, great. I called him 2 weeks to the minute.
Yep.
"Mr. X, this is Zach, blah, blah, blah." He goes, "Who?" I said, "It was Zach. We spoke 2 weeks ago. You told me to follow up with you in 2 weeks." "Oh, Zach, please don't call me. I don't need your help. Please don't bother me." I said, "Mr. X, completely understand you're super busy right now and you don't have any time to talk, but can I follow up with you in 2 weeks? "Sure. You can call me in 2 weeks." Perfect. I call him 2 weeks to the minute. "Hey, Mr. X, this is Zach." "Zach who?" I said, "Zach, you told me to follow up with you in 2 weeks. "Oh my God, dude, please leave me alone. Like, please stop calling me." I said, "But Mr. X, I've been on point. I've called you 2 weeks today. You keep telling me to call you and follow up with you. Can I just have 5 minutes of your time?" I said, "You know what? I respect and admire your persistence, your tenacity, and your punctuality. You can get on my calendar." So his assistant calls me, "Hey, blah, blah, blah. You can get on Mr. X's calendar, blah, blah, blah." He didn't give me the listing, but then 2 weeks later, he texted me at 11:30 at night, "Hey, Zach, I got a house for you to sell." Sold that house. And then he's like, "Hey, Zach, I got someone else's house you could sell." Sold that house. Then he said, "Hey, Zach, I know someone else who needs a realtor." Sold that house. So like just a lot of persistence led to like one big deal, but that one big deal turned into a lot of other smaller deals. So I think, you know, persistence, follow-up is important. Punctuality is important. And, you know, a little bit of
give a damn.
Yeah, and like being bold. And like being bold. You know, like I wasn't afraid to keep calling him. I wasn't afraid to, you know, ask him questions that he doesn't get asked often. I wasn't timid at all. And that I learned a lot from that one situation.
Love it. You know, I'd say for me, I always like to share this story because it was just hilarious. My wife gets a kick out of it because I told her about it as soon as I got home this day. But when I was first starting out in my career in the wireless industry, I worked in a kiosk environment. And, you know, what truly separates those that are average from those that really go out and thrive in their respective industry isn't because they're just insanely more talented. It's just because they care a little bit more than the average person. Mm-hmm. They go above and beyond a little bit more than the average person. So the deals that you got to spend a little more time on, like you did with the 2-week follow-up, that's the stuff that the average people just simply aren't doing because they don't care enough. And it's those one or two extra deals that make or break salespeople.
Not sure.
And take that next level. But at any rate, you know, when I was working in a kiosk, one situation always sticks out is I had this sweetest lady. She had the most wholesome and just hilarious personality. So she came up to the kiosk. She was inquiring about switching over. I was like 4 or 5 accounts from Verizon over to Intellos Wireless. And she was limited on time. Yeah, she expressed that she had some sort of event that she had to get to, and she was only in the mall to shop for a dress. So I took that as a challenge in an attempt to earn her business that day. So I said, so how about this? Let's figure out which phones you want, see if it makes sense for you financially. And if so, you know, we can see if we can get you approved, and I will personally help you shop for that dress while my colleagues here activates the phone for you, so that way you don't need to wait around. Two birds, one stone. And she laughed, and somehow she accepted it. But you know, the key takeaway is you truly have to see everything as an opportunity, especially in sales. The only limit that you have is the limitations that you put on yourself. So it's those unique conversions that do require a little bit of more creativity than you find in the average salesperson. But it's just what separates those that thrive from those that simply just get by.
Yeah. And then I got one more question for you, actually, before you wrap up. What do you think is easier or harder to sell, a product or a service, or does it depend?
I guess it depends. Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, what I sell is a product.
Yeah.
And it's really an added expense to someone. So it's a no-brainer in my world, or at least I see it that way. So, you know, I don't know. You can sell anything. So it just depends on the person in front of it.
Right. And the product's important as well, though, too. You know, having a good product, you can't sell a shitty product. You can be the best salesman in the world, and you might convince people to buy a shitty product, but I think getting behind something that actually makes a difference and brings a lot of value. Yeah.
You got to have integrity, for sure.
Got to have integrity. Well, to all those people out there that are listening, I'm going to drop the link to Cash's book in the show notes. It's Selling Keeps You Broke by Cash Hasworth. Cash, it was awesome to have you on the podcast today. Thanks so much for your time, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Zach.